This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Mavs fans, next game is coming up against the Clippers tomorrow, and then I believe you go to Los Angeles for the next one. So back-to-back with the Clips is Bobby Corella, one of our favorite Mavs talkers in the world, joining us now. You can read his stuff at All City Dallas. And a good afternoon to you, Bobby. Thanks for joining us again here on The Fan, man. How the heck are you?
It is good to be back with you guys. I think the last time that we talked, things weren't too good. Yeah. Hey, it's turned around quite a bit since then.
This is amazing, you know, and I'm picking the Mavs to go to the finals. I know we have to negotiate OKC, but the kind of basketball they've been playing is great. And, you know, what I wanted to start with was, how is the offense evolving here, asking Luka to speed it up? And are we playing more Kyrie style like this? What do you say?
I think that it's a little bit of both of those things. So Luka is definitely making an adjustment because he's not on the ball as much. He's not dribbling as much. He doesn't, you know, his time of possession is down like 1 or 2 minutes per game from last season. His usage rate is down actually at like career lows. He's spending more time spotting up. Almost half of his made threes this season have been assisted. And this is a guy who last year hit like 200 or 300 step backs. I mean, he creates his own offense, but this year, he has been the end point of possessions as opposed to the start and the end point, you know. And part of that is his adjustment to get Kyrie more touches or get Najee Marshall more touches or whatever. But part of it is also just, you know, Luka knows after going to the finals last year, you know, we watched them beat the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Wolves with Luka exhausted and banged up and injured for most of that run. You know, by the time they finally got to the finals, it looked like he was running on fumes. And I know, you know, some fans feel very strongly about his conditioning level, but also, you know, the Mavs have just asked him to do so much throughout the regular season for so long on offense that it feels like he's got nothing left on defense. And sometimes he runs out of gas in the playoffs too. But this year he's playing probably the best defense of his career, and he's touching the ball less than he has at any other point in his career. And I feel like that's not a coincidence.
Was there any truth to the idea that his absence was like remedial conditioning needed?
I don't know. I'm inclined to not think so, because he has been pretty banged up and he hasn't even practiced the last 2 days. And apparently there's some doubt about his potential availability for tomorrow's game against the Clippers. But I'll believe that when I see it, because that dude hates the Clippers like I hate Sunday nights. Like, he is very anti-LA. So, you know, we'll see. But I think he's just nursing everything. But it also is one of those things where, you know, they now know, again, having been all the way to June, the best way to give themselves the best chance to make it out of this Western Conference is to make it to April and May and June with a really healthy, really fit Luka and Kyrie. And Kyrie's gotten off to such a good start this year that, and Luka, meanwhile, kind of hasn't by his standards. And so if you're able to get Luka some rest now, you know, and then eventually I'm sure it'll be Kyrie's turn to maybe, you know, skip some second nights of back-to-backs and things like that. That's how you keep them fresh for the home stretch and for a potential playoff push.
Bobby, the Mavs since November 15th have been the NBA's best three-point shooting team. They're hitting a ridiculous 45% of their threes. I don't think that's sustainable, but being a top two or three three-point shooting team in the league, do you feel like that's sustainable? And wasn't that really a huge plan of bringing in Klay Thompson and revamping this thing?
Yeah, I think they are on paper definitely a top five caliber three-point shooting team, if not better, you know, depending on the night. And they have been pretty combustible over the last few games. I mean, they're shooting 45-50% most nights these days, which is insane to see. I mean, like the other night in Golden State made 27 threes, which is the most threes ever in a loss. They were 27 of 54 from three, and they had the second highest three-point shooting percentage in the game. Like, the Mavs shot 51% from three, so they're red hot. I mean, that's definitely part of the plan because of the way that OKC and Boston specifically defended the Mavs in the playoffs. I mean, they were just leaving Derrick Jones open. OKC very famously left P.J. Washington open, and he made them pay. You know, this year, P.J. got off to a bit of a slow start, but he's starting to heat up. You go out, you get, you know, Najee Marshall, who was a career best 40-something percent from the corner last year. You get Quentin Grimes, who the first 2 years of his career, he was about 45-46% from the corner. And then Clay, and, you know, Clay obviously is the linchpin of the whole thing. But, you know, if you go to the DLS Sports YouTube channel, a couple weeks ago, I did this film breakdown about how even though, like, Clay's individual numbers at the time weren't very impressive, he still has this impact on floor spacing because a lot of times teams are face guarding him. Like, they are staying home on him in ways that we just frankly haven't seen defenders do against Dallas. Generally, teams want to double Luka or double Kyrie to, you know, for two things. One, to get the ball out of their hands. But secondly, to leave a bad shooter open. Well, what if the shooter in the weak side corner is one of the best three-point shooters of all time? Like, you know, teams have to you know, weigh those risks. And oftentimes, they were face-guarding Clay. Over the last couple weeks, though, we've seen teams start to double-team Luka and Kyrie more. And so it's no surprise that Clay's productivity has gone up in that time. I mean, we're really seeing this pick-your-poison aspect of the Mavs offense play out in real time. And, you know, that's been good to see. But can they sustain it for 82 games? And then for 16 more, you know, only time will tell.
What do you think about this shakeup among the front office? You got Sint Marshall, who's leaving after 7 years in the organization today, appointing Rick Welts, the new CEO, who has background with Golden State. I know Clay was pretty pumped about this move, it sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, that dude is a lifer. You know, he started his career as a ball boy in Seattle when he was like 16 years old. So he's worked in the NBA longer than many of us have been on this earth. And in every role, you know, along the way, I think his main area of focus, and this has, you know, been pretty explicitly stated by him and by Patrick DeMont and the Mavs ownership group, is, you know, he had a huge hand in building the Warriors Stadium, the Chase Center in San Francisco. And, you know, crucially for Mavs fans, you know, the Warriors own that stadium. So any event that happens there, any game, any concert, anything, that cash goes in the owner's pockets. And NBA teams are very expensive to put together these days. You know, luxury tax prices are steep. It takes a lot of cash to, you know, put out a competitive roster and a championship roster. And, you know, the Adelson family is very wealthy. You know, they're worth like $33 billion or whatever. But if you're able to get a stadium built with your own cash, with your own capital, you reap the rewards of all that in terms of profits, and you're able to pour that back into your team to build the best facilities, to field the most competitive roster, to have the best everything. You know, so hopefully that's just another advantage that the Mavs can have in the marketplace when it comes to attracting stars, keeping stars, you know, keeping everybody happy and all that stuff. So, I mean, Rick is, he's a basketball legend. He's a Hall of Famer as an executive. You don't see that happen very often. And, you know, it was a really, really nice job by Patrick DeMont and the Mavs.
Hey, Bobby, with the Mavs getting bounced out of this tournament, was it actually a blessing for them when you look at how the schedule played out for them and it allowed them to – they were on the road, a bunch of sick guys and stuff like that. Did not going further in this tournament kind of help them a little bit?
I think in one respect, yes, because they did get so much time off. But on the other hand, it meant that they have to play an extra road game at OKC, and that is okay. That is brutal luck of the draw. You know, this year it's four games against the Thunder for them, and three of them are at OKC. Mm. Now, if you're willing, and I, for the most part, am willing to trade one really tough game or maybe one loss for 5 or 6 days off for Luka and Kyrie, I am absolutely taking that all day, every day, mm-hmm. because if the Mavs had played a normal stretch of schedule during that 5 or 6, you know, day stretch,
right,
there's a pretty good chance Luka or Kyrie would have missed the game anyway for rest. So, you know, I would make that trade. But, you know, I don't think there's enough data really on the NBA Cup to know. I mean, the Lakers last year won it and then they, you know, flamed out pretty bad in the playoffs. So I don't know if there is some sort of, you know, lingering effect of having played that 83rd game or, you know, a more travel, more intense schedule. You know, this year the Thunder played 83 games, and so maybe they'll have a little less in the tank come playoff time whenever they meet the Mavs. So, but we'll see. I mean, I think any days off that Luka and Kyrie can get are huge, huge wins for the Mavs.
It's Bobby Corella, All City Dallas. You said DLL Sports on YouTube for your stuff?
DLLS. So yeah, Dallas with no vowels.
Got it. I just subbed for you. Looking forward to your content.
Got a sub.
What are you seeing? I'll like the video too. What are you seeing as a lively as a vocal leader here in year two?
Man, he's really mature. He's really, really mature. And, you know, this was, let's rewind back to the Mavs loss in Utah that dropped them to, I think, 5-7. It was their fourth loss in a row. Lively was in foul trouble that entire game. He finished the game with 5 fouls. I think he might have only played 11 or 12 minutes. And it kind of felt like at the time, like, man, is he taking a step backward from last year? Like, I thought foul trouble was a thing of the past, and you know, he can't stay on the floor, and he's struggling with some physical guys like Jokic. I mean, who doesn't? But even with centers that aren't as physical and aren't as talented as Jokic. But since then, he's averaging 2.3 fouls a game over his last 12 or 15 games. You know, he's dominating. He is switching on the guards and holding his own. You know, the Mavs go back to Denver a week or two after losing to the Nuggets, and Lively comes up with 2 huge blocks on Jokic in crunch time. You know, he's making big-time defensive plays, and, you know, if he can switch on to smaller players like he is now, if he can do that consistently, you know, onto wings and even guards, then he has a very rare ability as a center to impact virtually every single defensive possession down the floor. You know, no matter where he is on the floor, he can make an impact, whether it's blocking a shot, contesting or altering a shot, deterring a shot, or switching out onto a smaller player and keeping the ball in front of him. Like, that is a very, very rare short list of players who can do it. It starts with Wemby. You know, you think of guys like maybe Rudy Gobert. Like, that's kind of the caliber of defender that he can be and that he's already in the process of becoming. And then, you know, from a leadership and, you know, fire and intensity standpoint, you know, he's kind of becoming this team's Tyson Chandler. And, I mean, that is just – that's really exciting and really impressive because he can't even drink yet legally.
It's amazing.
Bobby Corella, a trade season unofficially underway. We're seeing the Mavs, or we were at least about a week or two ago, mentioned in a lot of rumors. They were favored in Vegas to land Herb Jones, the terrific two-way player out of the Pelicans. You know, are they lighting up the phones? Are they looking to make something happen here, or is this just chatter?
Everything I've heard, you know, from Tim Cato, Mark Stein, who are over here with me at DLLS, I mean, they insist that the Mavs are not in on Jimmy Butler. They also say that the Mavs, like every other NBA team, would love to have Herb Jones. I mean, that's an all-defensive caliber player on a, you know, bench player contract. I mean, who wouldn't want that guy? The way I see it, though, you know, given the Mavs' financial restrictions, they are hard-capped at the first apron, and they are about $1 million away from that, which means they cannot take back hardly any more money in a trade. Like, they have to match virtually dollar for dollar. So unless it's going to be, you know, they have a lot of guards that aren't making a lot of money, guys like Dante Exum, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jaden Hardy, you know, so unless they want to turn one of those players into a wing or one of those players into a big, you know, and kind of like a straight up swap or maybe add a pick to sweeten the deal a little bit, I don't see how they're going to make like a massive super impactful trade or any sort of complicated like 2-for-1 or 3-for-2 kind of deal. But then again, you know, the Mavs have not let a trade deadline or draft day go without making a trade in like 4 years. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're going to do. But my expectation is that if they do make a trade, it would probably be trading a wing or a guard with maybe a second rounder or something to add a little bit of size, because PJ Washington is so dang valuable to this thing. But when he is hurt, when he's in foul trouble, when he's having an off night, the Mavs are losing almost every single game, you know, whenever that is, no matter the opposition. And so, you know, I don't want them to be in a situation where, you know, you're getting ready for round one, PJ sprains his ankle in practice, and now your season's over. You know, so I think they need to shore that area up for sure.
What's your take on the three-pointers ruining the TV product?
I don't think it's ruining it at all. The one thing that I want to sympathize with the audience on this, you know, people like me and people in the media will bash everyone over the head with like, not only is this the most efficient way of playing basketball, but also like skill is at an all-time high. But then you look at shooting percentages and you're like, okay, well, even the best players miss 60% of their threes. you know, and the worst ones miss 75 or 80% of their threes. So, you know, you're telling me that this is a skill game, but all I'm seeing is just more misses. You know, so I want to understand where the fans are coming from and everything, but I mean, at the same time, you know, bad shooters are going to miss, but then good shooters are going to hit. And that Mavs-Warriors game the other night was one of the funnest games I've ever seen in my life. Like, I wish every game could be like that because they were knocking down shots and it was awesome. So, you know, I do believe skill is at an all-time high. I do believe that the game is fun to watch. But, I mean, you know, we in the league, media, we have to meet fans where they are. And if fans have issues with stuff, I mean, that's what gets, you know, rules changed and policies changed. And hopefully, you know, I would love the refs to swallow their whistle a little bit more than they have been. And we can see some good physical play come back to the game to blend right alongside with this all-time skill.
Is Irving still over 50% from three? What's your prediction on where that number is in 60 more games?
Oh, my God. It would be awesome if he was like 48, 49% from three. That dude is incredible. I mean, he missed one the other night in Golden State. He missed it by like an inch. It hit like all around the rim like five times and then rolled out. And I was like, that is so unfair. But, I mean, he's shooting at it just a level that I haven't seen. And he's taking like five or six threes a game, too. It's not like he's just putting up one or two. He is unbelievable, dude. So, again, I mean, that just underscores the importance of I need him to be shooting and playing and moving and looking like this in April and May. Like, these games right now are cool, but they have more important ones on the horizon. And I want to see Kyrie at his best whenever they're playing those games.
Anything else, Bobby, that's top of mind on these Mavs we got to know before we let you go?
Not really. They're back home. You know, this is a good chance to hopefully get some wins and more importantly, to get some rest, you know, stay off airplanes for a little while. You know, I'm looking forward to the Christmas game against Minnesota. I think that'll be a lot of fun. But these are the glory days, boys. Enjoy them.
Thanks, Bobby. We will. You too, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, DLLS. Sports there on your YouTube if you want to watch his video breakdowns as well. The video breakdowns in the NBA are just getting so delicious in these video formats, you know, and the amount of education they can pack into 8 or 10 minutes is incredible. Top 10 at 420 coming up. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Got some end of year lists that are coming out, and well, it's 2025 that's coming up. The top 10 most influential athletes over the past 25 years.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Korean for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
That's next.
Shoot, yeah, it's time for Woolchuk's Top 10. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankofirm.com. Now here he is, Zach, with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. Bleacher Report has pumped out a couple of year-end lists, and this is ranking the 25 most influential sports figures of the last quarter century. I will give you the top 10. Who do you think are the most influential sports figures of the past 25 years? 877-881-1053. I did see Max Crosby has put out a photo of himself after surgery. He's going to be done for the season. So is our buddy running back Sincere McCormick. They're both on IR, and their seasons are done. Did see an interesting Raiders stat, though. There's only one player this season with 100 targets and zero drops.
Oh, I saw this as well.
One player. And it's Jacoby Myers of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Any touchdowns with it?
Touchdowns?
Shocking. Now, there might not be any well, you know, who knows? Who knows? I think he might have like 3 touchdowns.
I thought you were going to say Brock Bowers because it seems like he catches every ball.
Well, he doesn't make any drops, but 100 targets, zero drops, only player in the league, Jacoby Myers. So congratulations to him. And big night at the American Airlines Center if you're going. Jamie Benn. He's going to be playing his 1,143 career game tonight. Third, I guess, would it be. Like 1,143rd.
I understood what you said, bro. I was right with you.
Yeah, I was just going to keep it moving on.
I was
that
really
one,
leaking on
then
that.
Then you threw the TH in there.
I was working with Blake was terrific. Again.
No, I failed there miserably.
That's a big number.
I'm going to be home right now, just backing up into the bushes here. But that's now the most ever by a Dallas Stars player in history. He's passing Mike Madonna tonight.
I'm sorry. It was 1,043 games?
1,143.
Yeah. It's a good run.
Hell of a run. So congratulations to the captain right there. All right, let's get into the list. Top 10 most influential sports figures of the past 24 years as we're going into year 2025.
Man. There's Tiger Woods.
There's a lot.
First name. Tiger Woods and LeBron James are the first two that come to
mind. Tiger was the first person. I put this out on Twitter. Tiger was the first name that got replied. I think immediately you do think Tiger is in the top 10.
LeBron changing the sport. Steph Curry LeBron, changing the sport.
Steph, they're both going to be in the top 10.
Tom Brady.
I mean, I don't know how you pair this thing down because Ronaldo and Messi and Jordan and Kobe got to be in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, since 2000?
Yeah. Just with the shoe legacy.
He's not in the top 25.
Jordan's that's a mistake.
Jordan's not on the list.
How about Mayweather?
Dawson's
all of these fighters want like Floyd the perfect Mayweather. Record.
Yeah, that's
they
a good
all
one.
Want perfect records now.
Dawson that's just turned his mic off.
That's a good one. Floyd Mayweather is good. Not in the top 10, but Floyd's honorable mention here.
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk's
does he
the,
count?
Tony Hawk is in the top 25. Yep. Tony
Bill Hawk's Belichick.
Look at your boy.
Bill is 13.
Roger Goodell.
No Roger Goodell.
Adam Silver then. Adam Silver.
You don't have any commissioners.
No commissioners.
There's no commissioners to crack this top.
Is there college involved, like Nick Saban?
Yeah, Nick Saban's actually just on the outside looking in at 11.
What did he do?
Nick Saban's number 11, 7 national championships, 297 wins.
Is Jerry Jones in there?
No, Jerry Jones is not one of the guys.
Are we talking about actual influence, like in the sport, in the business of it, or just how you impacted the game?
I think it's more so probably impact of the game, because I don't think the money factor, because you're going with guys that certainly would go money.
So you have Mahomes.
Not so much with those.
Mahomes is in there, right?
Mahomes is in there, yeah. Mahomes is in there. The guys that are at the bottom towards this list, you got Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, 3 Stanley Cups, 2 Hart Trophies, 2 Conn Smythe, 2010 Olympic gold. So he, obviously, from 2005 on, has been one of the faces of the NHL, one of the best players in the history of the sport. Lucius mentioned Tony Hawk. Shaq is on here. 4 NBA championships, 1 MVP, 3 finals MVPs, 14-time All-Star. I mean, the dynasty of the Lakers.
There was nothing more dominant than Shaq in my lifetime watching basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, when he was rolling there, it was just unfair.
How about AI? Allen Iverson.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Allen Iverson's on here.
Yeah.
Why?
Olympics. I mean, we got a lot of Olympians. Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Usain Bolt.
Oh, Phelps, bro.
And Michael Phelps is going to be on here as well. Peyton Manning made it.
Did you say Peyton?
It's Peyton.
Debating.
Debating Manny, yeah, that's the new one they got. Dude. I mean, they're, AI just took the crossover from Tim Hardaway, you know?
But he had the tattoos, the long hair.
Okay, that's cultural.
You know what I mean?
That's cultural, but I thought we were talking about winning.
Big T-shirts.
Yeah,
this play style.
I thought we were talking about practice.
God, Jesus. We talking about practice, man.
Come on, fam.
We talking about practice.
We're sitting here. I'm trying to give you influential guys around the league, and you're just...
I'm just telling you they're not.
Give me some clear guidelines here, Wolchuk, for crying out loud. Where'd you find this list?
Bleacher Report.
Is there like Mike Krzyzewski?
I mean, that makes all this.
Yeah. Mike's list. On here.
Mike Krzyzewski?
Mike's list. Yeah. Donovan McNabb.
Mike Krzyzewski is not on here.
Okay.
No, Coach K on here.
Knowing the Micah influence Bleacher Report, give me Tyrese Maxey for 500.
No Tyrese Maxey. Wow, Roger Federer.
Simone
Roger
Biles?
Federer's on here. Simone Biles, absolutely.
Let's go.
How about Simone Biles' husband the other day doing a dance celebration after giving up a first down?
I think Lucius.
It was like 17 yards, like 3rd and 17. He thought he had him short of the sticks. And no.
Lucius understands the assignment. I think everybody Lucius has mentioned has been on here.
All right. Don't get me hated on, though.
Number 10.
Who does Lucius think he is?
Sports guy. <That's it. laughs>
Don't you have like one of 3 or 4 jobs to be doing over there, Lucius?
Right now? Run that podcast, Lucius.
Shohei Ohtani also is an honorable mention what he's been able to do. Number 10 on here, most influential people since 2000, over the last 24 years. I like some of the texts that are coming in here. Rob Kraft and the Happy Endings from the 817.
Bob Kraft.
Katie Ledecky. Yeah, Katie Ledecky is a female swimmer. Absolutely did not make it.
Dang.
She's a stud.
Sorry, Katie.
Jake Paul. Nope. Didn't make it. No Paige Spierinak, but I like where you're going there. 4-3-2. I like that.
Had some influence.
No Boban. Boban would have made my top 10.
Well, I was thinking local guys. Is the number one a Dirk?
Probably.
Yeah, it's got to be. Chris Young, if we can do executives. I don't know. Gave us a championship, but maybe Seager.
Evaldi. Locally, most influential since 2000. I mean, Dirk, 100%, would be one. CY, yeah, I think you could put CY in that conversation. I mean, Dak, if you're talking about Cowboys, like Ware.
Witten, Romo. Witten,
yeah. Jamie Benn. We just had that stat there with the Stars, what he's been able to do. I mean, but Mark you had David. Madonna during that run as well in DFW. Number 10 on the list.
I was trying to think of a FC Dallas player, but they sell them as soon as they have one good season.
Well, did they get anything back in return for one? I don't know.
They get nice
can
little.
Can we make a sale here?
Nice little money for stocking stuffers over there.
Caitlin Clark got texted from the 903.
That's got to be on the list. Caitlin,
She was. She was honorable mention.
Did you already say Tom Brady?
I did.
Yeah, we're going to get to Brady here. Good. Brady's pretty damn high up here. Number 10 is Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Two NFC championships, one Super Bowl, and then, of course, the social justice stuff that took over the sports world.
Biceps and knees. He kisses the bicep. Lady, taking the knee. Well, I'll tell you what.
And when
got
you look
antics.
At the way that quarterbacks are playing now,
yeah.
He was kind of the first, like, dual threat. That they started going to the RPO, like what Harbaugh did with him. Yeah. He fit. That's now the modern-day NFL.
Dude was hard to tackle.
With what we're seeing.
Was he ahead of RG3?
Yeah. Yes. He was.
He was here before then. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Right around the same time.
I mean, I would think Tebow. I would think Johnny Football.
I like those. Yeah, college football, 100%. Nine is Ronaldo. From 2002 to present. I mean, the dude's been a freak of nature with what he's done internationally. Forbes highest paid athlete.
Does he have plastic
well.
Surgery? Ronaldo?
I wouldn't be surprised.
His face doesn't move. He's got to.
Yeah, something's going on.
He's got definitely got Botox.
He's got Joker face.
He does.
He's kind of.
Peyton.
He got that.
He's got new teeth.
Yeah.
Eight, we've got Simone Biles.
Go.
43 international medals. That's unbelievable.
They're ahead of Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven is Serena.
Oh, yeah.
23 Grand Slams. Wow. 73
at least they
titles.
Play every year in tennis.
And a social justice.
Yeah, that's all right. She's an all-time GOAT at that sport.
Just keep going. Go ahead.
You know, you have four major events in tennis every year. You in the Olympics, you get one every 4 years.
Yeah. Six is Kobe.
Kobe.
The lasting impact of the Mamba legacy. Five championships as well. Two finals MVPs, league MVP, the 81-point game, which, you know, hey, we don't love that, but it did happen.
What really does it is the last two that he got with Pau Gasol, you know, because before that edge.
it was
and plus he forced the Lakers' hand to build that team. He was like, trade me to the Bulls then.
He did. Five is Messi. Messi comes in at five, ahead of Ronaldo.
That's
four,
fine.
Four is Tiger.
Tiger.
Three, we've got Brady. The seven Super Bowls, three NFL MVPs, the comeback, biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. Number two is Steph, the way he's changed the game.
Okay. I mean, the 3-point shooting.
I don't know how you can really argue
undeniable.
Steph.
At two?
Oh, wow, we're in the hunt.
Maybe, no, yeah, at two is a little heavy.
I mean, he's changed the entire sport of basketball, really, with the way, I mean, we're complaining about the threes now. Who's that because of?
That's who
the
to blame.
The way Steph plays,
do
right?
Do we credit him or do we blame him?
Could get the credit or the blame. But that's
going to happen.
That's influential. It was going to happen. It didn't matter if it was Steph. Number one, though, and I guess this is probably hard to argue, LeBron. LeBron comes in at numero uno of the most influential since 2000.
Player empowerment, dude. I mean, and that's bled into
really has
all aspects of
unbelievable
of sports now. College, of course, being the latest, but he certainly changed the entire dynamic of the NBA, and now look what it's done everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That was a fun discussion, Wolchuk.
No, Mahomes is not.
Not even in the top 25?
No, he was, but he wasn't in the top 10.
All right. Chiefs going to go back to back. What are we doing next, Eric? We got your college football hump day, Darty. Let's get our bodies ready for the CFP weekend, and let's grade this new menu item as well next in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Okay, we're rocking and rolling here. Already halfway through the show. Time flies when you're having fun. Here's the Chief with some sports. How short of a leash is Quinn Ewers going to have here in the college football playoff? Game number one versus Clemson. We'll dive into the matchup a little bit. Let's start prepping our bodies now for what is going to be an unbelievable Saturday. I mean, it's been a long season. I know the wear and tear is there. Hopefully, we all have the stamina to live through what is going to be an epic football Saturday with the college football playoff games. Of course, the NFL games going on as well. It's going to be fantastic.
State championship
and,
games.
How much more dynamic would the offense be for Texas if Arch was commanding things? But before we do that, let's do a little college football housekeeping here. I did like the nice touch there for the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Man, hell of a game.
It was at 42-37.
Yeah. Seth Hennigan, Denton Ryan getting it done.
Memphis over West Virginia. But the cool part about this is they end up dumping a 5-gallon bucket of iced coffee onto the winning coach. So that's their bit. You have the mayo stuff. You have the Pop-Tart Bowl and how they've advanced things technologically with these trophies.
Yeah.
I like the
creativity.
Cold brew being put 5 gallons as well. That seems bigger than the usual, like the run-of-the-mill 3-gallon
Gatorade. Is that how
Gatorade
you drink
tank.
Coffee? You're a cold brew guy?
I mean, either or. I do love a good cold brew. Absolutely, okay. I do.
I know when I do pregame with you, always seem to have one.
Hit that nitro cold
Scooters
brew.
Scooters is
on
very
there.
Good
get you
too.
Going.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like the cold, local? Like in the big can with the candied up Starbucks.
Sponsor,
you know?
Oh
yeah. That's. I think the cold and bitter just it doesn't jive with me. But I'm feeling like as a coach, I got to consider what celebration you want me to go through if I'm going to accept this bowl game. I mean, half my kids aren't going to be there anyway. If you're going to dump cold coffee on me after the game, I think I'm out.
What, really?
Yeah, especially if it's in a cold environment. You get cold water, cold air. I might be in hypothermia by the time I get to the hot tub.
Did you see that Super Bowl that time that Belichick's dad was on the sidelines?
Oh my gosh, he almost had a heart attack.
I think that was when they beat the Eagles.
Yeah, he almost took a knee.
He did.
Like that cold water hit him, and it'll lock you up. It's
man.
Like Belichick had to hold on to his dad from like not folding.
You're gonna
up.
Make it, Dad.
Yeah,
but I mean, at least the coffee you don't have like the Gatorade sugar stickiness, right? Like the stickiness effect.
Yeah, it's better than cold Gatorade. I think you're probably right.
How
about that
or champagne? Like in auto racing, like when you're on the podium, get hit with champagne. Would you want that kind of
like the celebrations after you win a championship?
Yeah, yeah.
And all the other sports, but football, I guess.
Would you stink? Like, okay, it's like a summer day. You got
that's gonna be sticky as hell.
The stickiness and just the eyes burning. You know.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it when you win a championship. Like you want to smell like champagne.
Yeah, and I don't mind smelling like old coffee. You know, I kind of like that.
Me too.
Old coffee or old cigarettes?
Old coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice smell.
Matter of fact, I was like, this is like the old
Camel
cigarette.
Crush.
Yeah, why not?
Or like a
like
a red,
like a filterless one.
Getting in my truck the other morning, I set my coffee down on the center console. I picked up the cones that are on a string off the passenger seat so Abby could get in. We were taking her to school.
Oh, the soccer drill cones?
Yeah. So the cones swing back and then through like a pendulum, knocking the coffee into my shirt and pants and my back seat. Truck smells like coffee strongly right now, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit.
Great smell.
Was it hot coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd made it like 10 minutes earlier, so it didn't like damage me or anything.
It wasn't like a McDonald's
lawsuit. It was just uncomfortable.
No, worst decision I ever made. I was filling in for the morning show a while back.
Filling in for the morning show is a bad decision.
Well,
you age early. You don't get it. Those guys,
that's a terrible show to be
God
on.
God bless them.
Yeah.
But I picked up a hot, like, Quick Trip coffee, and at the time I was doing like the MCT oil in the coffee deal.
Uh-huh.
To start your day or whatever.
Yeah, you gonna learn.
Bro, it started cooking the cup that it comes in. So I'm sitting there driving. I put the MCT oil. I'm driving with the coffee.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, because the oil and the hot coffee in that particular cup that it comes in, it just started eating through the coffee cup. And I'm like, oh, my God, why am I starting? I'm burning. I'm like having to pull over, and it was a whole disaster.
Yeah, that's science. Something else, ain't
it? So that's why it gives you bubble guts.
Science rules.
Chemistry is crazy.
Yeah, man.
So the Styrofoam cup has no stopping ability, huh?
Not if you're putting oil in scorching hot coffee. I should have known, you know, and a Yeti or something is what you would need to do.
How do you know that?
Experience,
class.
You know, you got to learn the hard way.
Say it on the pack.
Don't put in hot styrofoam cups.
No,
I don't think there's a warning label.
I don't think there is a warning
label. That MCT oil will slide right through you, too, if you put too much into your coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Slide right through you.
Keep you regular.
Yeah. Like, dang.
Yeah, I went a little heavy on that one night. I was like, oh, I need this MCT oil. So I was like, just took a swig of it.
Oh, you were riding porcelain.
Wow.
That's a weekend on the throne right there.
I've never had a 3 a.m. wake up. Like dry powder, dude? What are you doing over there?
I had no idea what I was doing, really.
You just kept excusing yourself from the room every few minutes. God. I had a Saturday like that.
You guys are amazing for this stuff.
It's your college football hump day, Darty. EA College Football 25 has become the best-selling sports video game in U.S. history in dollars, surpassing NBA 2K21. So I'm sure inflation has something to do with that.
Yeah,
but it's
a little bit.
They're getting a hundo a game these days.
Not surprising.
Yeah, it's
I mean, the momentum was big for that. We've been waiting, 20 years? It's been a long time.
Yeah. No, that's true, for sure. And I haven't even gotten to play it yet, so...
Mm. Pent-up demand.
Sucks to be me. There's going to be a new Netflix docuseries on the SEC. I guess they've been following around a handful of teams.
Just
Alabama.
It's like we knew this. I don't know. Like this recirculated today that this is a story we've heard about 3 months ago that we're doing this documentary. Mm. But supposedly some teams have said they didn't want to be part of it.
Right.
Why?
I don't know. Unfiltered access is what they're calling it to coaches and players.
I'll tell you what, man. Netflix, everything that they do with these kind of these series, like
this is gonna be awesome. I can't wait.
Well,
this
is Survive.
Yeah, and it's produced by the same people from F1's Drive to Survive.
There you go. Well, they dig in pretty deep, so I probably can see why teams don't want to be a part of it.
Some of these coaches and ADs are really struggling to adapt to the modern landscape.
Not that guy at Mississippi though.
Dion probably has a cast of filmmakers and social media people that are costing thousands of dollars every week to generate this stuff, and Netflix is coming in giving this to you, and you're like, no, stay out.
They're Dion. I mean, you watch a game at Colorado, and like the players go to the sidelines. There's like five camera guys like having to get avoiding, getting run over.
Let's go viral.
Yeah,
I'm ready for the Kentucky game whenever that is, because I remember their fans were blaming Netflix for being there that week as to why they lost so bad.
South Carolina.
It might have been the South Carolina game. Yeah,
and then they beat South Carolina.
But they got their ass kicked.
They were lashing
out at Netflix for this. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Netflix being around is really why you lost.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if Oklahoma loses out on the number one player in the transfer portal. It's a quarterback out of Washington State, John Mateer. And
I thought his coach went.
His OC is now the OC with Venables at OU. So everybody's tying him. He's actually visiting there today. He's probably on campus right now. But the Hurricanes are lurking in Miami as they just poached Washington State quarterback Cam Ward last year. Yeah. And you saw how that worked out for him. And they have an offensive line. All five are returning. So there's a little bit of competition there, but I still think OU is going to end up being the place for that kid. And then the concession item, Indiana Notre Dame playoff game. Tell me what you think.
This is in South Bend.
Yep. Bread pudding shamrocks with Bailey's Irish cream infused caramel sauce, topped with cinnamon sugar, white chocolate, raisins, and green and gold sugar sprinkles. Yeah. So it's in the shape of a shamrock, and it's bread pudding. The raisins, I'm not really understanding. That's part of it.
That's part of it. Yep.
White chocolates. There's only going to be 100 of them available, though.
What?
And they're $7.49.
It's a limited edition item, huh?
It tells me you're not very confident in it.
Yeah,
you only want 100 people to taste it.
Tell you what,
I love bread pudding, but this sounds weird. Like,
no IU fan's going to buy that, right? No. This is just going to be Notre Dame fans, but it's a Notre Dame home game, so I would presume it'll be a dominant Irish crowd.
Do you think if you and I were doing Notre Dame Irish football pregame show that we'd get one?
I'd like to think so, Broadus.
That like we would be like just mauling them down?
Yes. I think I could eat 20 of those.
It sounds delightful.
The caramel.
Yes.
Like it really sets it off.
Gushing
if it was
there.
Warm too, because it's going to be kind of chilly at this
point. Well,
and
they make it like a handheld because it's a shamrock deal.
Yeah.
So I'd be all in on this. You say bread pudding, anything else is a win.
I mean, $7.49, that's not a terrible price.
No, not at all. But, I mean, the first 100 of those are going to fly off in seconds, you know? All right, let's go ahead and tee up Joel Klatt, college football enthusiast. and good
broadcaster.
Yeah, for sure. And he's talking about whether or not the Texas offense would be more dynamic with Arch Manning.
Texas's offense would be better with Arch Manning. I know that that's hyperbolic. I candidly hate saying that, but I do think it's the case. And it's the case because when Ewers doesn't have mobility, and he hasn't had it with the lack of mobility in terms of that ankle injury, he can't scamper for first downs. There is an immense amount of pressure on Steve Sarkisian to scheme guys open. We've seen that against Georgia both times that they've played him. And Georgia is fast enough and well-coached enough to take that away. I think Sark's going to have his cape on. Now, what do we see from Sark, generally speaking, after a long layoff? Great game plans. And so I fully expect him to have something cooked up for this Clemson defense that is going to allow Quinn Ewers to succeed. I do think Quinn's going to have a short leash. I think of Tua with Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. And I think of like, this is it. You've got to win this game to move on. There's no other game after this. So how quick is the leash if Quinn is not playing well? If he's not seeing it, like that first outing against Georgia, will we see Arch Manning? Possibly. And I actually think they're a more dynamic offense. He changes pace on his throws better than Quinn does, and he's much more elusive and a threat with his legs than Quinn. And that's obvious because now they have even like short yardage situations where they'll bring him in.
I think you're going to see more packages with him 100%. For this game.
Yeah.
But I do kind of expect Quinn to play well. I think he's going to be very motivated for this. You've had an extra week off with the ankle. You got Cade Klubnik on the other side. There's that relationship there. I think this is a game that you'll see Quinn perform well, but yeah, you're going to see Arch. Arch is going to get some moments here.
Yeah, I think the ankle thing is huge, like the extra time off, yeah, because it's limited the mobility for sure. Big time. Over the last two games, Ewers has been sacked 7 times. He's thrown 3 picks. And on the other side, Klubnik's playing his tail off.
Yes.
And the mobility factor, and they've had some, I mean, they had some big-time explosive pass plays versus South Carolina, which is a hell of a pass rush for sure. So, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. Clemson plus 12-point dog.
It's a big spread.
And people are worried about, I mean, I see people on the Texas beat going like, there's still seats available for this game. I mean, it seats 105,000.
Just sold out.
But
I just saw now. Yeah, that game sold out now.
All right. Well, so maybe they put
that out there and then everyone scooped the tickets.
Yeah, no doubt.
We'll ask Danny Cannell that question and others. He's going to join us Friday at 6 o'clock. They're going into your college football weekend. That'll be a must-listen segment. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief.
Yes, Vrabel continues to be the hottest of commodities. And, of course, we find out what's on Man Campbell's Christmas wish list. That's next right here on The Fan.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.